This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
James T. Kirk goes into outer space from West Texas. He was pretty excited. He could not only say he was terrified, but he said it was indescribable and said he was actually nervous being shot up into the air. We got details on that because I think it's a pretty cool story. And then, of course, the latest on the vaccines and the boosters and the force and the push to get troops discharged for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. Is this really a thing? It is. There's some conversation happening about that. And the governor of Texas saying the vaccine mandates are illegal. There's pushback on that, just like there is in Florida. And then there are others that are cheering it on. Just another day in the life of an American. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us, whether you're joining us on these shores or other shores. We sure do appreciate the support for this show. Let's dive into it right at the top. I'm going to give you the happy, happy story, and that's the Shat. He was shot up in the historic mission. Well, it wasn't really a mission, but it was for fun, on the Blue Origin. That's Jeff Bezos' baby. He says he hopes he never recovers. He definitely went boldly where no man his age has gone ever, ever, ever before. I can only tell that joke twice, and that's the second time I've told it. 90 years old he is, and I think it was a brilliant PR move by Jeff Bezos to put him up in the air. So he went up at about 11 o'clock Eastern out of West Texas. You're up there a couple of minutes. You do the weightless thing. You see what it looks like to see the Earth from very far up in space. And it is indescribable, and that's the word Shatner used over and over and over again. So it was smart. There were three others that were part of that deal. He says anybody who has a chance to do it, they should absolutely do it if they can. There was also a former NASA engineer and tech entrepreneur and the founder of a clinical trial software company that were the passengers along with him on Blue Origin. Total of the tickets sold, nearly 100 million. Man, this Jeff Bezos, he just prints money, I'm telling you. But it was pretty cool. I'm being serious. It was pretty cool to see the rocket go up and to know that William Shatner was part of that and he was heading up. How about that? If you have a spare million or so, not million, actually more than that, and you want to go into space, you'd have to wait because there's actually a pretty big waiting list. So some people have the coin to do it. Speaking of having the coin to do it, waves of Americans are saying, I'm tired of this job and I'm quitting. Everybody is quitting and leaving their jobs. Is that really true? I keep seeing this everywhere. There is a rush of resignations. It's accelerating. 4.3 million people, which would be almost 2.9% of our workforce, quit in August. That's according to the Labor Department, not my statistics. I didn't make it up. They released those statistics on Tuesday. In September, the nation's jobless rate plummeted to a pandemic low of 4.8%, but it was driven by people leaving the labor force. Half of American workers are actively searching for new opportunities. So what do you think is behind people resigning? The pandemic. Because now we're burned out. People are burned out and they're reexamining their lives and they're looking at what's happening. And then some of them don't want to be forced to take a vaccine and others don't want to be on the front lines of anything. And it's been a massive exodus of workers from these areas. Retail. I used to work in retail when I first got out of college. Warehouse, restaurant and bar. I've worked at a restaurant too. Healthcare, social assistance jobs. The lot and a lot of people quitting, 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 and tough to fill those jobs. right? Tough to fill those jobs. So I guess women have borne the brunt of these losses, these job losses, since the pandemic started. That's what the Brookings Institution says. They look at those kinds of statistics and chew on them and figure out what it's about. And it's the low-wage service jobs. And then part of that is, guess what? Child care demands. Because what do you do when you have a child at home or children at home, right? And then you have the Delta variant disruption with the schools reopening. So some of the schools, they weren't reopened. It was, again, it was learning from home where you were doing those Zooms, et cetera. So that presented more problems there, too, as well. I think there's a lot of different reasons for people leaving. But they just, they look at their situation. They're tired of some of the things that they're doing, especially in the jobs I mentioned. So the service jobs, and that makes sense to me, right? There's even a hashtag for this, because, of course, there's a hashtag for everything. Quit my job hashtag. And some of that is toxic workplaces, where there was the young woman we told you about who broadcast her resignation from a Texas Walmart over the store's intercom, saying she was pushed to the brink by what she called a toxic, sexist, and racist environment. That video, millions of people have watched that video. And I think there's more to come. I mean, we're in uncharted territory right now when it comes to hiring people, when it comes to people looking for meaning in their life or enjoyment. And you know, the key is that those of us who are lucky enough, and I would consider myself to be one of those people, to be doing something you absolutely love, there is nothing like it. It's not about the coin. Somebody told me one time, the money will follow when you do what you love, right? Or at least enough money to survive anyway. And more people are finding that out, I believe, because of the pandemic. That's what I think it's really, really about. All right, as we jump here at the beginning of this show, just quickly a few things. I think we cared about the Shatner deal because I think it was pretty interesting that he went up into to space. We've already told you we got the push on the debt ceiling, at least until December. Shocking news came out about what your heating bill could be. If you're listening to me in pretty cold places, you're going to see higher inflation. Well, all of us are going to see it on food prices. We're already seeing it. You're going to see that rents are going to go up, that's for sure. And, of course, home heating bills are going to soar, and that is bad for a lot of people. Propane oil will rise the most to 54%. So the main reason wholesale prices of natural gas, crude oil, and petroleum products have shot up is that fuel demand has increased from those lows faster than the supply because of the economic recovery after the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic. So about half of U.S. households rely on natural gas for heat. The average cost expected to rise by 30% from the year earlier period. So that means that homes with natural gas last winter, 572 per household. 572. So dramatic increases for those that rely on propane or heating oil. Those costs will soar 54%. 54%. Oh, it'll be ugly getting those bills, won't it? Just, you're going to get a lot of those pink bills coming in. You know what I mean? When you got to stretch those at dollars. I'll meet you on the flip side.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. London to speak with Mary Ann Day. Her book is Kangaroos and Champagne. Is that the most brilliant title? I mean, you should just be drawn to this book for the title. And as she described it to me off air, and I'm going to let her tell you more about it, it really is a rom-com. Boy, is this the perfect time for that? Just to escape? And especially, I think, a story, a novel that focuses around Australia, and you can just imagine the shenanigans. Mary Ann Day, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
The book, what was the spark for writing this book? What made you decide you were going to write this book?
Well, I was traveling in Australia, and while I was there, I met a lot of different bizarre people. Among them, there were quite a few ladies from overseas who were very keen to stay in Australia. And in doing so, they decided that they would try and find themselves a husband and have an arranged marriage. And so there were quite a few strange incidents where young ladies were actually going up to men and asking them to marry them. So this all seemed quite amusing and entertaining, and I wrote it down while I was in Australia just to keep a record. And then when I got back to England, I decided that I would sit down and write a book. And in writing the book, I just came up with the idea of my quirky plot.
Wow, so tell us about the plot.
Well, the story is meant to be a fun rom-com, a light read, not to be taken seriously. And it's about a heroine called Sally Wiltshire, who comes from England. And she goes to Australia and falls in love with Australia and decides that she'd like to stay and live there. But she discovers that even though she has qualifications, she hasn't got the right qualifications, and she's not a plumber or a brain surgeon, which is some of the key jobs that the Australian government is looking for. And consequently, she's having to look at other options. And she's actually looking at some quite odd options and having some fun adventures in the process. And she's actually considering even having an arranged marriage. But in the meantime, she falls in love with a handsome Australian hunk called Rick. Unfortunately, Rick, since she last met him, has found himself a moody girlfriend. So he's very much off limits. So she's looking at lots of different options, and she'd love to fall in love and marry somebody romantically, but equally she's thinking of different ways, and she's even considered perhaps having a gay marriage or marrying somebody and paying them to have an arranged marriage. And in doing so, she has some wild adventures. She spends a few days with a suicidal maniac in the country, and she has a karaoke session with a man and his dog. There's some quite amusing incidents in the process, and her adventures are lively and fun. But throughout the story, the reader wonders how she's going to find her way to Australia, and whether in fact she does end up staying there. And if so, does she fall in love and does she meet her man? Or will she end up settling for an arranged marriage and ending up staying in Australia that way?
Wow, such great escapism. I love it, and I love the storylines. I can just see this. I can see this on the big screen or the small screen somewhere. This would make a wonderful either movie or series. What do you hope people take away from reading Kangaroos and Champagne, which, of course, you can pick up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble?
Well, I think it's meant to be a light read and a bit of fun, but at the same time, I think there's a message underneath, because it's essentially a satire on Sally's take on life. And in some ways, you could reprimand her for being a bit too single-minded and perhaps not really considering the ups and downs of being married to somebody who she isn't in love with. So I think the considerations are really the choice between love of a country or love of a person. And I suppose you could look at it from the ethical point of view as well, that, would somebody actually want to go through with that? Would they be happy at the end of it in doing so? So those are just some questions to pose, while at the same time it's meant to be a fun romp that, you're meant to enjoy and sit down with on a rainy day.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. What about new books, future books, carrying on different stories? Will you do that?
Yeah, I'm just putting finishing touches to my next novel, which is a romantic adventure. It covers a few countries, and is in some ways a bit of a thriller, but not too thrilling. It's meant to be, again, a bit of fun and light read, but a bit different from Kangaroos and Champagne. So I'm just looking around for a publisher at the moment.
I love it. Kangaroos and Champagne, again, you can pick that up wherever great books are sold, B&M, Amazon. What great fun speaking to you. Marianne, thank you so much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you. It's been great.
All right, pretty interesting how she talked about women coming to Australia that were looking for husbands, just going up to them and finding out they wanted to get married. And I looked up some of the best cities to find a husband, just for fun, guys. Do you think you would agree with this? San Francisco in the U.S. San Francisco was number one. The divorce rate, 4.4%. They say that San Francisco is number one because there's 29.8% of unmarried men in the city, and there's tons to do, even with the pandemic. You can go shoot bows and arrows. You can taste wine. You can do a sidewalk tour. You can play mini golf. We can do that everywhere else, right? Can't we do that in Texas and in Iowa and in New Orleans? And yeah. And California made the it's our biggest state, I guess, because San Jose was on the list. It was number two. Washington. We've got people listening in Washington. It's known for a place where you can meet people. There are 30% of unmarried men in that city. Seattle, same thing. Starbucks, capital of the world. Oof, I am not a Starbucks fan. I know everybody loves their coffee. Nah. Give me just a plain cup of Joe. Anyway, same thing. You have a huge amount of single men there. San Diego, lots in California. And I think that's just because of the population. That's the only thing I can figure. Of course, there's more people in bigger cities. And How about the birthplace of Coca-Cola? Give me some Georgia. I love Georgia. I do. The birthplace of Coca-Cola is Atlanta, Georgia. 32% unmarried men in Georgia. Long Beach, California makes the list in the top 10. California. I mean, up and down it is. And then bigger cities along the way. Maybe it is smaller in a maybe it is harder in a smaller town to meet someone. I think that what's really different is just dating during the pandemic. What would dating during the pandemic be like? Seriously, a lot of it is the dating through apps, right? Going on the dating sites and finding people that way. You know, my husband looks better and better to me when I hear about these stories of what people go through, especially in the beginning of the pandemic. This was really, really, really tough. All right, a big reminder, k2kdelaneyradio.com. You really all find it. I don't even have to throw out the breadcrumbs, but anything on your mind, send it there, k2kdelaneyradio.com. All right, the big question, one of the things I was talking about, is troops and the vax. So troops and the vax is this. There are a lot of military people who don't want to get vaccinated and are refusing to do it. And they're trying to get toward or inch toward, 100% vaccination. And I was just reading Military Times, two great things to read, Stars and Stripes and Military Times. And they talked about that, that the deaths are continuing to trend upward, even with the more of the force of getting vaccinated, that there were five more deaths that came in. Members of the Army's reserve component are the least vaccinated in the military. In the 36 deaths reported since August 19th, they were among the Army Reserve or Army National Guard soldiers. They make up about 20% of the military overall. Since the pandemic started, they've made up 26 of the 67 total deaths, or that would be, 39, almost 40%. But of the 67,066 who were completely unvaccinated, some had, of those, 67,066 were completely unvaccinated. One had a first dose of a two-dose vaccine. So sad, they list the people who died, most of them in their 50s, but the death total in October so far is 8, so that's less than halfway into the month. So we'll keep tabs on that to see where that all goes. All right, the music means it's time to get happy, people. We need things to be happy about, right? The music means that I will meet you in a few, talking to a fabulous musician next who you may recognize, Steve Tyrell.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. planning to reopen its land borders to fully vaccinated Canadians and Mexican citizens. As a senior administration official has told reporters, travel restrictions will be eased next month for America's neighbors visiting for non-essential reasons. The White House saying no to efforts by former President Trump to invoke executive privilege over documents related to the January Capitol riot. The House committee that's investigating that day did subpoena the documents and several former Trump staffers as well. The National Archives now being forced to turn over those documents. Actor William Shatner on Wednesday became the oldest human to ever fly into space, and upon landing he told a reporter,
"So filled with emotion about what just happened."
Shatner flying the brief trip into space aboard Blue Origin's new Shepard rocket. And this is USA Radio News. President Biden announcing plans to try to ease a supply chain bottleneck at ports in California, especially the Port of Los Angeles. Officials of that port say they'll try to do their part by shifting from the Monday through Friday only operations to a 24/7 until further notice.
Today's announcement has the potential to be a game changer.
And officials say it's also going to be helpful for trucks to head off towards factories and retailers with goods off those ships at off-peak hours so as to be able to avoid often congested Southern California freeways. A mass killing in a place where you don't often hear of them, Norway, and it's also unusual given the type of weapon used. Five people killed after a bow and arrow attack. Two other people wounded, including an off-duty cop. The attack happened in a city southwest of Oslo, and the suspect is now in custody. Top officials say they are looking into whether this might have had something to do with terrorism, although at first glance they say it doesn't appear to. And this is USA Radio News.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork and Line Tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork and Line Tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line Tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Curiosity always got you guessing. Questions spinning round in your mind.
Wow, this is a real treat for us. Steve Tyrell is backstage virtually. He's got a new album coming out. It's called Shades of Ray. And imagine having the chance to record with the legendary Ray Charles. But Steve Tyrell has his own impressive resume, I'll call it. It goes back to, you think of Curiosity, the theme song, which he wrote for a show I used to watch, an 80s show called Snoops. And he also had his music featured in several other areas, and he's performed at the White House for Presidents George Bush and Bill Clinton, Buckingham Palace. He hosts a popular radio show in Los Angeles, and the list goes on and on. But we want to get to him and talk to him about his music and this collaboration that he had a long time ago with Ray Charles that now is finally coming out. Steve, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, you know.
Tell me about Ray Charles. What was it like to record with Ray Charles?
Oh, it was great. First of all, he's my hero, really, from the time I started in my first high school band. I did Ray Charles songs right off. What I say, I used to sing at every gig. So he was like a really, really important figure in my life in terms of inspiration. So to finally get to meet him and work with him was a dream come true.
As a person, I've heard great stories about him. I never had the opportunity to meet him. But what was it like being around him?
Well, we had a great time. I've done a lot of television and movie music over the years, yeah. You know, and I had done a show before the Snoops, which I wrote Curiosity for, with Tim Reed. Tim Reed was on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And anyway, we became friends. And when he got this show, Snoops, he asked me to write the theme song for it. So I did. And I knew that Ray Charles was a fan of Tim's, because we used to do a show called Frank's Place in the 90s, and it was great. It was about a blues bar, and it was sort of like a black version of Cheers. You know, it was about a blues bar in New Orleans, and the jukebox was like a character that played all this great music, and I did all the music for it, and Ray Charles loved it. So he got a hold of us to tell us how much he liked that show. So the next show up was Snoop's. And I wrote this tune, and I told Tim Reed, the star of it, I said, hey, man, why don't we send it to Ray and see if he'll sing it? So we did, and he had never done, his manager said, well, I don't know if he'll do a theme song for a TV show. He's never done that in his whole career. He kind of is against that sort of thing. And I said, well, you know, can you play it for him, and we'll see. So we sent it to him, his manager. And Ray agreed to do it. Now, in the meantime, that was a CBS show. And in the meantime, they changed some of the pictures in the opening titles and asked me to rewrite, or my wife at the time, rest her soul, Stephanie, to rewrite a couple of the lyrics to fit the new pictures they put in. And so we did, and so we sent it to Ray with the new version with the different lyrics. And I guess his manager never gave it to him. So when he walked in, you know, and I met him for the first time, he asked me to raise the key from the demo I sent him, a half a step. And he said, did you raise the key? I said, yeah, man. And he said, well, play it for me. He said, by the way, who is that cat singing? And I said, she was just like that, I swear. I said, that was me. He said, beautiful, man, beautiful. And that, which was like the highest, you know, compliment I'd ever got in my life. It was from Ray Charles telling me he liked the way I was singing it. And anyway, when he started to hear it, he realized we had changed some of the lyrics. And he said, where did those lyrics come from, man? And I said, well, the network asked us to change them. I didn't want to throw his manager under the bus, you know, and say, I sent it to you, man. You mean they never gave it to you? And he said, well, I don't have my machine. He didn't have his Braille machine, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, sing anything you want. Who cares? You're Ray Charles. Sing the old lyrics. What are they going to do, fire you, man? I said, get him to change the pictures back the way they used to be. He said, no, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do this recession, just me and you. You're going to sing me a line, and I'm going to sing it back to you 10 times, maybe, until we get it exactly the way you want it. And we did the whole song that way.
Wow.
Like, I was giving Ray Charles a line reading on every song. You know, that just never happens.
No.
Nobody would ever have the nerve to do that, number one. You know, say, Ray, sing it like this.
Oh.
And I taught him every line of that song. And when we got to the bridge, I thought that I had written it where I came in on the downbeat, you know. And Ray was coming in after the downbeat, or vice versa. I can't remember which one was which, downbeat or before or after. Anyway, I told him, come in after the downbeat. And he says, man, you didn't come in after the downbeat. I said, I think I did. He said, play the tape. And, of course, he was right, you know. And I was wrong. And we got a big laugh out of it. He said, hey, look here, brother. Let me do the singing and you do the producing. And we just, you know, just had the best time. Curiosity was one of the highest days of my life. And, he learned the song. I taught it to him. We recorded it, and it's on the main title. But the show didn't really make it. So it never got really released on anything, and nobody ever knew it. So when I finally made my Ray Charles album, Ray had passed away. So I had to get approval, you know, from him, and I couldn't. So I had to get it from his estate. So I sent a letter to his estate and his son, and they heard it and they said, yeah, man, that's beautiful. You can use it. So it became my bonus track on this album, Shades of Ray.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love your story. And you had the past year to kind of hunker down and do that and put on that album, right?
Yeah, plus make the whole album. I always wanted to make a Ray Charles album, but quite honestly, I never thought I was worthy or anybody was worth. You don't see many Ray Charles albums. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've done a Disney album, a Bacharach album, a Sinatra album, all kinds of people, but I was always a little bit hesitant to think about recording a Ray Charles album. You know, I'm thinking, who the hell wants to hear me sing this when you can hear Brother Ray himself, you know? But this pandemic allowed me to finish it and concentrate on it. Every time I would go in the studio to make, well, this is my 13th album, to make another album, I would do a Ray Charles song, you know, and just hoping one of these days I would have the nerve to finish. And I did, and I'm very happy with it, and people seem to really like it so far.
Yeah, you know? Curiosity is amazing, and again,
check out some of the other ones.
Yeah, you're an incredibly talented human. There's no doubt about it. All the Grammys that you've won, and the producing, like he was talking about before, and not realizing you were the singer, but it really took off for you as a singer, right? When you did The Way You Look Tonight and Father of the Bride.
Exactly. Yeah, that changed my life. Really, I didn't really want to be an artist. I was very happy being a writer and a producer and behind the scenes, and it gave me an opportunity to work with a lot of great people. You know, Linda Ronstadt. We won a Grammy with Somewhere Out There with James Ingram and Linda Ronstadt. That got nominated for an Oscar. You know, and it started a whole trend because that was the first song from an animated feature that was a hit, you know, but Steven Spielberg was directing it. So by being a producer, I've been able to work with a lot of artists, and that was always my main goal. And a lot of times I'd work on a movie, like I worked on Mystic Pizza. You probably don't even remember that. That was Julia Roberts'
first movie. I know Mystic Pizza,
Well, I'm singing all over that movie. And just by accident, what would happen was I would be working on the movie and doing the music, and I would make a demo of something, and invariably the director would say, well, why don't you just sing it in the movie, you know? And they put my version in the movie. And that happened all the way to Father of the Bride. Father of the Bride, I had to record The Way You Look Tonight for the band to play at the reception. And Steve Martin, if you remember, he's all shook up. He's trying to get to the reception, and there's a police come, and they got too many cars parked, and he's running all over the place. And when he finally walks in, the band is playing The Way You Look Tonight. Well, the band was me and my guys, you know. And every time, I remember when we shot that in Father of the Bride, we had all kinds of extras. It was the biggest day of the movie because it was the reception scene, you know, so all the actors were there, all kinds of extras, and every time we would play back The Way You Look Tonight and shoot it, we shot, I don't know how many versions of it, different angles and stuff, the audience would come up to me and say, sir, did you write that song? You know?
Yeah, like, crazy. Like,
is that going to be on the soundtrack now? We got a lot of response right from the set, you know? So I told Nancy Myers and Charles Shire, I said, why don't you put this song over the end of the movie? And when they leave to go on their honeymoon, let this come back and be, you know, the main song of the movie. And I'll produce it with somebody like Ray Charles or Rod Stewart, maybe. And I'd do it with a big orchestra. And I'd be the guy singing it at the reception. But at the end, it would come back with a big orchestra and Ray Charles or Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it ended up being me.
Yeah, it worked. It worked, and it worked for you. Steve Tyrell, we could talk all day long. You're amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much. Go and get this. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Someday, when I'm awful low, when the world is cold.
Hi, this is
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This book, can you almost hear the barking in the background? Mahalo in the past, and of course now I have Guinness. But the book title is Too Many Pets. Mark Anderson joins us, and this is a kid's book that's written in poetry style, so it probably was a lot of fun to write. And you know, we've got the holidays coming up, and so many people are looking for great gifts, and I think the gift of a book is the best thing that you can give, and especially to children. Mark, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's talk about why you wrote the book about pets. How come pets?
I don't know. I've always had pets all my life, and it just seemed logical. I mean, it's I guess no particular reason.
Yeah, just thought, hey, I like pets. And did you have a favorite pet?
I have. I mean, I guess if I had to pick out one favorite pet in my whole life, I have had a dog named Grundy, who died.
Grundy. What kind of dog was Grundy?
Oh, a pound puppy.
Oh, yeah, pound puppies are the best.
Yeah, I had him for 13 years. I got him from the pound when he was about 10 weeks old or something. And then he grew up with me, and my kids grew up with him. And he was a special dog. And he died in about 4 years ago. But now I have dogs, but Grundy kind of stands out in my mind.
Yeah, I like that, Grundy, and Grundy was there for a long time. And you just said that you've got a couple of different pets now, a couple of different dogs. And now what's interesting is you're seeing that the adoption of cats and dogs has just, and other animals, but has really soared because of this quarantine. And I think it's because of that bond we have with the animals. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that makes sense. People get lonely. I just hope that when the quarantine is over, they don't suddenly decide they don't need the dogs anymore and start taking them back to the pound. You know, people do that.
Yeah. They do. They drop them back off at the pound. So we jumped into this, and I wanted to tell everybody, you're a retired librarian. What a cool job. If I had your job, I would get fired because I would want to read every book, so I'd probably squirrel away in a corner somewhere. They'd be looking for me, paging me, whatever. But what kind of a career was that like? I mean, how cool is that?
Well, it was my library specialty all the while I was working, or at least for the last 30 years or so, was government documents.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the guy that, well, selected which government documents we got. And, I mean, it sounds boring to people, but, you know, to laypersons, but it's really fascinating. You never know what you're going to find in the government documents section,
ooh,
you know.
Yes, government documents. So when you get a government document section, I've gone in D.C. and went to a library and looked at some documents, but I had to sign my name. I had to wear gloves. Is it like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Not in the collections I worked in. And of course, now they're all online anyway. So so any library can have a good government documents collection. But I mean, you never know what you're going to find. I mean, I just stumbled across so many stories, you know, there'll be some, a congressional hearing of investigating something or other. And within it, you'll find, you know, stories with plots and characters and, you know, dramatic pauses, and it's really, I mean, it's amazing. I could write a bunch of historical novels out of it.
Well, that's probably what's next for you. You go from too many pets to talking about historical documents. You could really weave a tale. And you're in Colorado. I want to say that because, you know, it just made me think of that, how much I love Colorado. It's so, so beautiful there. And I was looking at your book, Too Many Pets, and on the cover you've got some kids, and you have a dog is in the hand of one of the kids, you know, their head, that's like reminded me so much of Guinness, and I think people listening who get that about dogs. Was it hard to do it in poetry style, or this is something you've always done, it sounds like?
No, it's just, I mean, I was always a big fan of Dr. Seuss.
Right.
I read my kids Dr. Seuss probably, so much of that I still run around with passages from Dr. Seuss running through my head, you know, from memory. I can, it just kind of works. But one thing I did want, do you want to ask about the illustrations?
Sure. Tell me about the illustrations.
Yeah, the illustrator is a young lady that I've been friends with for many years. Friends with her family. Her mother and I have been friends for like 40 years or more, or even more. And her mother is Joan, and she, Joan always wrote, you know, sends me birthday cards and Christmas cards with her own illustrations on them, her own little cartoons. And so when I was looking for an illustrator for that, I asked Joan if she wanted to illustrate it, and she suggested her daughter Asa, who lives in Iowa City. So I sent it to Asa and asked her if she wanted to do the illustrations, and she did. And a lot of the things that are in there, I mean, it was her idea. I mean, it was like the idea of making the girl character, the my dear, the nameless my, making her black was Ace's idea, but it fits, you know.
Yeah, it fits with the two kids, and again the illustrations, the book, really, really funny. Too Many Pets, Mark Anderson, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's so interesting in this book, Too Many Pets. I think it's what's so good about this is children learning about pets. I mean, the story is about a young man explaining to his friend why he doesn't think he has too many pets at all. And when we talk about, and I asked Mark about that, when you talk about he's got pound puppies, I have a pound dog, and my first one was two. Mahalo was the golden retriever I had, and Guinness is now two, who's a mix of those, by the way. Pet adoptions are up, and I think what he said is powerful. Pets and adoption go together like ham and cheese, I think, seriously. And during the pandemic, because there's so much isolation, there are so many people that are adopting. I mean, during the coronavirus, I was looking at the statistics, it is just completely soared. It's like pet mania. And it's something to keep in mind that, you know, watch and see what's happening with these pets. Are some of them going to go back after the pandemic? He said he was worried about that. That's the same with me. I was reading about this huge pet shelter. It's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals in Los Angeles, and it's a nonprofit shelter, right? And the adoptions there are double their usual rate. In June, they had, you know, 13 a day, they were saying. And they even had a waiting list for certain types of dogs and for puppies because so few were in the shelter. So people were calling up constantly. Their phones were ringing off the hook of people saying, tell me when you get somebody in. Tell me when you get a dog in. Tell me when you get a cat in. Tell me. And then if we go to the other side of the country, at animal care centers in New York City, about 25% of the people who agreed to take in foster dogs temporarily at the start of the pandemic had adopted them permanently by like June or July. And usually the foster, I didn't know this is so fascinating, the foster turned adopter figure is 10%. 10%. So you never see that. It is a temporary thing, which I think is great when somebody does that. But the fact that they then adopted them, I think it just shows you there's much more interaction. And I agree with Mark. I hope that continues and you don't see a lot of animals left or abandoned on the street or whatever, because I just think that is awful and so, so heartbreaking. Anyway, got a kid in your life, grandkids, friends of kids, great birthday present. And as I said, the holidays is coming up, so we're starting to do that, giving you options for holiday stuff. So Too Many Pets, Mark Anderson's book. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. Thanks for listening to this version of the show. Remember, make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.